on this wonderful evening known for centuries as Good Friday, I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2 and consider with me the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. This evening is so much more than just a holiday. This whole weekend is for each of us a reminder of the stake that we have in those events that took place 2,000 years ago. Our interest exceeds anyone else's in the world, and by the world I speak of those who are apart from Christ, because this week we can most reflect upon the reality, not merely that Jesus Christ died — that is an amazing event in itself — but the scriptures tell us that 2,000 years ago, we also died with Jesus Christ. That's the amazing part that often we don't think about. That's what can make this just a holiday weekend, just a busy time in the church life, when it should be the time that we most reflect upon the fact that we who are alive already died once. We died with Christ. That's what Galatians 2:20 is all about. It condenses the entire theology of Christ justifying death into one very memorable expression of truth. For all the rest of our lives, we are to be seeking to know more completely and more deeply all that God did in that six-hour period of time when Christ was crucified and when we also were crucified with him by the grace of God. Now, I'm talking about the doctrine of our union with Christ. But sometimes that is one of those obscure, out there, rarely pondered times, except right now. Now, I would like to bring it into our conscious thinking tonight, and I pray by God's Spirit throughout the year when we gather and remember communion, that we gather and remember that Jesus Christ died for us and we died with him. We were crucified with Christ, as Paul so clearly says. No verse more clearly summarizes what Jesus has done than Paul's personal testimony here in Galatians 2:20. No verse more clearly frames what each of us should declare at this sacred moment than what Paul's words affirm for us tonight. Now, remember, the early church, 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, when they gathered, Paul commanded them that as oft as they would eat this bread and drink this cup, they would proclaim Christ. A lot of times we wonder what exactly we're supposed to proclaim. Well, Paul proclaims it right here. In chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ." I'd like to just take just a few minutes to do a very short little lesson in the way that God inspired the Bible. God was very precise. That's why we're so careful about what version of the Bible we use, to make sure we have a translation that has a correspondence between the words that God inspired and the words that are in the Bible. We have a word-for-word translation rather than one of these that just kind of is a freewheeling thought by thought, or not even to do with the thoughts of the Bible, someone else's thoughts. And so a short lesson in the grammar of the Bible. On this night, we've gathered to remember the cross of Christ. We remember with Paul that this isn't merely a past historic event. It is also a current condition, state that we live in as Christians. That's what he's saying here. And I just want to help you see this as an event that we were a part of personally, directly, and powerfully. First, there's four phrases. In your Bible, I noticed the big four translations that almost everyone in this room would have: the King James, New King James, New International, and New American. All have the four same very clear phrases. The first one, "I've been crucified with Christ." The second one is, "No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." The third one, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." And then the final phrase, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." So those are just the basic structure. The "I have been crucified with" is actually only one word in the original. It's one word. that God inspired. It's a very powerful word in the original text, the New Testament. It's a verb around which this entire verse is built. That first word, very powerful. It's a verb that's known by Greek scholars as number 4957. It's really a, you know, a great way to know it. It's the word which is fascinating to me. Stauraō means crucified, and the little preposition with, S-U-N, is put on the front. And so it's with crucified is what it, the verb means, with crucified. Now, that's kind of a tongue twister, but it's a very powerful word to think about. It's found five times in the New Testament, three times in the accounts of the crucifixion, where it says, and with Jesus were crucified two criminals, one on the right, one on the left. It's that word, sustarao, with crucified. So they were crucified beside him. And that's the word. The other two times outside of the gospel accounts are in Romans 6 and Galatians 2, which are very, very parallel passages. To better understand the verb, we should notice that God inspired it through the mind and through the word that Paul wrote down and the inspiration of God's Spirit as a verb with distinct parts. And that's one of the precise aspects that God inspired his word that is fascinating as we examine them. When you classify a Greek verb, and when you go to school and learn this, you always find that it has three parts, a tense, a voice, and a mood. Now, it's very parallel to the English language, but most of us didn't like that part of school. And it kind of, as soon as school's over, we forget about it. But what's amazing is the more you understand about the actual language of the Bible, the more you understand how powerful the communication God's Spirit chose to give us. And so, this word, sustarao, translated, I have been crucified with, comes to us from God very specifically as a perfect tense, as a passive voice, as an indicative mood. You say, that doesn't do anything for me. Well, let me explain it. The perfect tense is Greek, describing an action which is viewed as having been completed in the past, once for all, never needing to be repeated. Now, that's important. In fact, we all know one very famous usage of the perfect tense. It was Christ's last cry from the cross. Do you remember on this also day that we remember, Good Friday, when Jesus was on the cross, he spoke seven times from the cross. And do you remember his final parting cry was just one word, which we translate in three in English. The one word, tetelestai, is a perfect tense. And it means it has once and for all, never to be repeated, been finished. It is finished, it says in our English Bibles. But it doesn't mean it's finished to be picked up later. It doesn't mean it's finished partially. It means it is once and for all, forever, completed. That's the perfect tense. Not needing to be repeated, completed in the past, once and for all. So here in Galatians 2:20, Paul uses the perfect tense first to say this, I have been crucified with Christ. I, in the past, once and for all, never again to be repeated, have been crucified with Christ. That event I participated in, and it is never to be repeated again. It is done. Amazing. He doesn't stop there. Secondly, it's passive. That represents the subject as being the recipient of the action. That adds to the meaning of Paul's usage of this verb. It means someone else crucified me. I didn't do it myself. This event happened once and for all in the past, and I didn't do it. It was done to me. So, perfect, once and for all, completed, never to be repeated in the past. Passive, someone else did it for me. I didn't do it for myself. Then the last part of the classification of this verb, it's indicative. That's a simple statement of fact. If an action really occurs, or if it has occurred, or it will occur, it will be rendered in the indicative mood. So what does Paul mean? Well, the final thing he means is, this really happened to me. It's not hypothetical, it's not fanciful, it is a fact. That's what indicative means. It really happened. It's not wishful. It's not hopeful. It's not saying that this is something that may happen to you. He said it's a fact. So if we just take all that truth of grammar together, this is what Paul says. Galatians 2:20, just the first opening phrase would be, "What I am telling you is a fact." That's the indicative mood. "I have actually already been crucified by God with Jesus Christ." That's the perfect tense. That means it's done, it's in the past, doesn't need repeating. "God crucified me, and I didn't do it myself. It happened and was completed in the past once and for all, and it never needs repeating." God did it. Passive. "I didn't do it myself." It's in the past, the perfect tense. And this is a fact, Paul says. So when Paul says Christ was crucified, he says that Christ crucified him also. And if you understand the doctrine of our union with Christ from God's word, that means that every single one of us tonight were also crucified that day with Jesus Christ. Now, if you think about the implications of that, it is astounding. It affects how you look at the rest of your life. It affects how you look at your security in Christ. It's not if you make it to the end and don't slip up before the very end. What it means is that our salvation is already completed by Christ. We died with him. We were buried with him. And we rose in newness of life with him, as far as the doctrine of our union with Christ presented by the Word of God means. So every single one of us tonight need to believe and grow by faith to understand Christ's crucifixion was mine also. In an incredible way that only God can accomplish and explain, each of us here tonight who are believers died at the same time as Jesus almost 2,000 years ago. We have already died once in a real, spiritual, powerful way in Christ on his cross that we celebrate tonight. Now that is so foreign to our minds. And that's why Paul didn't say that's an experience that you need to have. He said that is a fact that's already been accomplished. And you spend the rest of your life understanding and appropriating and living up to what is already done by God once and for all in the past, not by us, but by another in our place and for us. Though all of us may look quite alive, the truth is that on this day 20 centuries ago, we were hanging on the cross with Jesus. When he died, we died. And after his death, when two loving men took down his body and buried it in a borrowed tomb, we were also buried with him in Christ. That is exactly what Romans 6, the first 11 verses says. It says we were buried with him. And that's what's portrayed in the waters of baptism. It isn't that we bury them on the spot. It is portraying what already happened. Not only the instant of our salvation when it was appropriated to us, but in God's mind at the instant of the event when we were in Christ and were crucified with him. Well, when he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. And when Jesus walked out of that tomb early on Sunday morning, each of us also walked out with him. When he died, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. And when he rose, we rose. And that's why Paul said we should live in this newness of life that we have, because through Christ's death for us and our union with Christ in his death for us, that truth should course through our hearts and minds as believers in Christ. That is why this week is the most special week in the entire world for all of us in Christ. That is why we are to spend this week pondering Christ and his cross, remembering his death for us, his burial for us, his resurrection for us. He is our life, our hope, and he is our salvation. And to help us remember these truths, Paul wrote to the church that as often as they gathered to eat the bread of communion and drink the cup of communion, they were to, 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26, they were to declare Christ. And so, I'd like to give you just one way that we as believers can do that tonight. Look again at Galatians 2:20. I know it's old and familiar. I know most of you have it memorized. I thought about that. I thought that is a popular verse when people have to quote verses. But I want you to think tonight Galatians 2:20 should stun us with the implications of what Paul declares here. Paul says, and he condenses those 11 verses of Romans 6 into one verse, he compresses the entire truth of Christ's justifying death and my identification with him and all that he accomplished into one clear statement. And it's this verse. Galatians 2:20, and I want you to, with me, read the four phrases. They're very clear. They're very powerful. And I want you, in whatever version you hold, it doesn't matter. We don't need to project it up. I want you to read the four phrases. Remember, I've been crucified with Christ. That's the first one. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Then the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And then a summary of him who loved me and gave himself for me. And I want you to read each one of those four phrases. And as you do so, pause after each one. And in your heart, ask the Lord to teach you by his Spirit to understand just what he has done for you, as stated by him in this verse. We need to live out life as crucified each day, not trying to be crucified because we already have been. You know, that is a problem. People say, I'm trying to live the crucified life. You can't. It's already done. We have to live out the implications of it. We have to draw upon it by faith, but we don't participate. It was already done by another once and for all. And we just get the benefit of it. And so we're going to read the phrase, the first phrase, pause for a few seconds, breathe out a prayer to the Lord right where you are, then read the next phrase, pause and pray and so on, and then at the end of all the mumbling we're going to hear all over the auditorium, when it sounds like everybody's gotten through all four, then I'm going to pray. So you look in your Bible, read phrase one out loud, not like you're reading it to the football field, just you and the Lord. And after that, just ask the Lord to impress on your heart deeply what that means. And then look down, read the second, and then again, aloud, whisper a prayer to him. And say, Lord, help me understand that. And just go through the four, and then I'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that by your grace and by the declaration of your word, that each of us have said to you, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I am to live by faith in the Son of God. And you are the one, Lord Jesus, who loved me and gave yourself for me. I pray that this communion will be a communion of remembering. Remembering that when Paul talked about it, he said, Christ died and I died with him. Christ was crucified. I was crucified with him. And we know that because of the truth of your word and our union with your Son, dear Father, that when Christ died, I died. When Christ was buried, I was buried. When Christ rose, I rose with him. And that's how I'm to live my life on this planet. Especially this Passion Week. May we, by your Spirit, deeply be reminded of the reality of our union with you in your death, in your burial, and hallelujah, in your resurrection. Prepare us to worship you through declaring you at your table. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen.